This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I'm not too sure why I'm hearing a lot of beeping and stuff from back here. Hopefully everything's fine. We'll just leave it as it is anyways. All right. We'll get right into it, inshallah ta'ala. So tonight is the ninth night of Ramadan. Okay. Tonight is the ninth night of Ramadan, the ninth night of Taraweeh. And subhanAllah, the month is going by pretty fast. And we, of course, you know, think to ourselves, like, what is happening? Why is it going so fast? But it is what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it go fast because it's something that's blessed. And anything that's blessed, you got to take advantage of it as it comes. You can't delay it, right? Like an amazing dish of food that you're serving in front of your family. You know, your favorite thing and the favorite to your family, as soon as you put it down, everyone just attacks it, right? Everyone wants it. Everyone wants a piece of it, and they all just enjoy it, and then there's nothing left for you. And so it's important for us to take full advantage of, you know, this blessing of this month of Ramadan from now, before it goes away, inshallah ta'ala. So being the ninth night of the month of Ramadan, we are going to cover the ninth juz, okay? The ninth juz of the Quran. We're going to start with verses number 103. Until verse number 156. And I'm not going to go through all of them because there's over 50 verses of the Quran. But what we see here is the story of Musa alayhi salam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in the story of Musa alayhi salam lots of things that are, that, you know, that happen in his life. First of all, that show us he was a human being. He went through challenges that we go through. He experienced certain things that we experience as well. And so Musa alayhi salam, being a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also is someone who we can relate to. For example, you just look at his death, right? Right before he passed away, angel of death comes to him, and I think, you know, any one of us would probably do something similar, right? Actually, you know what? I don't know why this is buzzing, but it's going to bother the live stream. So we're going to just quickly mute. Perfect. Alhamdulillah. Now that it's muted, I can't get back to it. There we go. Alhamdulillah. All right. So Instagram's been treating us bad today. Alhamdulillah. But we got you under control, Instagram. Okay. So Musa alayhi salam, at his death, you know, when the angel of death comes to him, he hits the angel of death in the face because he didn't want to return to Allah. So that's an example of us, like as human beings, you know, any prophet and messenger of Allah, they would think to themselves, okay, paradise, we are the chosen ones. You know, why would we want to live on earth forever? But Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he shows us that he wasn't ready to return to Allah. Just like some of us, we may not be ready to return to Allah yet, right? We feel that our time on earth isn't over and there's still a lot for us to do. And so that's one thing that we can relate to. He went through lots of hardship in his life, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, you know, dealing with Fir'aun and, you know, oppression. There's lots of oppression on earth nowadays, so he dealt with oppression as well. We see that Prophet Musa alayhi salam, you know, got married. So, hey, human beings, we get married as well, right? Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he was scared to face the enemy. Right, he had those feelings, those emotions. He was worried. Am I going to be able to do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassured him. You know, you have to do this. This is the command of Allah. You've got to go ahead and do it. And so, even though he was nervous and he was worried and concerned, he still went ahead with it. So, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, a human being who we can relate to, and he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is mentioned the most in the Quran. No other prophet and messenger is mentioned as many times by name as Musa alayhi salam. So his story is important, and there's a lot to do with his life that I think many of us can relate to as human beings. Like we can, sort of compare the feelings and emotions that we go through in our lives with those of what Musa alayhi salam went through in his life and during his time. So to begin, Musa alayhi salam, he lived at a time when magic was prominent, okay? There was magic that was being done, and it was like the miracle of the time, magic. So what I mean by miracle of the time is it was the thing that was very common. And if you can defy magicians, then you were seen as someone who was important and someone who had the ability to conquer something that was seen as being divine and so amazing. Okay, according to them. Now, when I say it seemed as being divine and something so amazing, I mean that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that magic, as we know it and as we talk about it at our time, performing magic, especially black magic, is something that is impermissible. It is not permissible within Islam. But here we see what Musa alayhi salam, did at his time, or we should say, what the people were doing during the time of Musa alayhi salam was different than the magic that we talk about. It was illusions. And it's that aspect of it is what we see people doing today, illusions. Now we need to let people know that it is just an illusion. I have no powers and abilities. This is just me tricking you, you know, your eyes. You're basically not moving fast enough to comprehend what's happening in front of you, as in your eyes can't pick it up. So for example, you know, the trick with the card, you're showing someone a card, you're like, here, check this card out. Bam, you flick the card behind, you know, the card goes behind and they can only see that one card. And all of a sudden you switch that card, but the other card is just hidden right behind it in your hand. And so those are illusions that are done. Magic that is not permissible is that which is done, with... first of all, it could be done in sync with the jinn, right? In some sort of agreement that is done with, you know, using the jinn, but also to cast spells, you know, things that are evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that. And what happens there is people start to put their trust in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it's not being permissible, okay? So Musa alayhi salam, the magicians, and the story, of course, is found more so in Surah Taha. So we'll go through some of the things that are mentioned here. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they saw what Musa alayhi salam had to present. So Musa alayhi salam, he has his staff. Where's my staff? Here it is. My trusty staff, right? My Ramadan staff. So he has his staff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam to throw his staff on the ground. So when he throws it, the staff turns into a serpent or a snake, right? And it's a stake. It's a snake, not steak. I said steak because I'm fasting. It's a snake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hayyatun tas'a. So it's not just a serpent that's there on the ground or a snake that you see and it's just like there. It's like, right? It's like moving. And if any of us was to see a snake that's moving around, that's like violently moving, we would back away and fear for our lives, right? Fear that we may get attacked by it. So that was Musa alayhi salam. And then he's told by Allah, you know, take that same serpent that's there, take it and hold it, right? Grab it. Grab the serpent. And when he grabs it, it turns back into his staff. So when the magicians saw that, they said, you know what, this is not an illusion. Like, this is more than an illusion. This is, you know, this is something that's divine. And so Musa alayhi salam, you know, he proved himself in front of the magicians. And the magicians, they now believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells them, look, your Lord is not this Fir'aun. Your Lord is Allah who created us, every single one of us, right? And so Fir'aun gets really upset and he threatens them. He threatens the magicians with cutting off their limbs, the opposite limbs. So the right arm, the left leg, or the left arm, the right leg. And so the magicians get really scared and frightened. So they leave with Musa alayhi salam. He takes them and they flee, right? Banu Israel. Fir'aun, of course, threatens to kill them, so they leave. And when they run over, they make their way over to the Red Sea. Okay, and the Red Sea, we know very well, Musa alayhi salam, he takes his staff once again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to take his staff and to strike the ground, right? To strike the ground in front of him. Now, any one of us, if we were with a group of friends and we said, don't worry, I got this, right? And it was like, whoa, back up, I got this, right? Everything's under control. Don't worry, I got this. You come and you think you're all smart and you take your staff, or you take your car keys because you think you're smart and stuff, or your cell phone. Like, I got this, don't worry. And you throw it on the ground. Our friends would be like, yo, you lost it, man. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, what's happening with you, right? I think you're going crazy kind of thing. People would be like, you know, something's wrong with you. What's happening? But Musa alayhi salam, he trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's an example for us as well. Sometimes in life, we need to step outside of the norm, step outside of that box where we say, nah, it wouldn't happen. What makes us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not send us miracles? What makes us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not make things happen? Like, he's made this pandemic happen. And when you read through, subhanAllah, I can't remember, a pharmacist the other day, he sent me a message and it was showing the amount of A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Shaitan is attacking me, right? It's Friday. We had the Jum'ah, you know, the Friday lecture. It's getting to me. So this pharmacist, he sent me this message and it shows, you know, the amount of coronavirus that has affected human beings or infected human beings. And the amount that is needed is so minute. And if you were to weigh it and put on a scale, it's just a matter of grams, a matter of grams. Basically, it's like less than the amount or the weight of a glass of water that has created this pandemic. And when you think of these germs, they're so minuscule, they're so small that they're insignificant. But the power and strength and might that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into them has affected the body of the human being to the point that some people have passed away, right? That in itself is powerful. And if we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot send something to help us when we are at a time of hardship and difficulty, then we are a bunch of fools to think that Allah could not do that. Of course Allah can do anything. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make, you know, this pandemic go away. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us ease and safety and protection. Of course, that's a given. That's like a no-brainer. But to believe in it and to make people believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the help. For example, if I was to tell you that we can make a dua right now, and if we all were to say Ameen super, super sincerely, to the point that we are so sincere, nothing on the face of this earth matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept that dua. And some people would say, yeah, come on, man. Like, you guys sitting over in Milton, you're going to make dua and this pandemic is going to go away. What makes you think that it can't? We can, and it could, and it may. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, it will. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to make it happen. And so with the story of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, you know, he is chasing Musa and the magicians and the people that are with him. And they reach the border of the Red Sea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, commands him to take his staff and strike the ground. And when he does so, the water inside of the sea parts. Now, I swam in the Red Sea. When I was a student in Medina, we used to go to the Corniche, to the Red Sea and swim right by the coast in Saudi Arabia. And we used to swim in the Red Sea. When you look at it in front of you, you know, as far as you can see, all you see is water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it part. Yes, Allah made it part. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the water split and the ground in between the water nice and dry and hard, easy for them to walk through. Because when you think of it, if it was water that parted, the ground underneath there, all the sand, and the, you know, it would be soft, extremely soft and moist. It would be like mud and sludge and difficult to walk through, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it dry and easy for the people to walk through. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here how He has the ability to help us. And Musa, as a human being, as someone who we can relate to, we think to ourselves, if Allah can help Musa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us. Yes, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose human beings to be the prophets and the messengers, to show us that if Allah is able to help them, then He can and will help us if we put our hearts and our minds and our, you know, devotion and sacrifice and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will not change the state or the situation of a nation until they themselves change the situation for themselves, right? So we move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Red Sea part. Musa alayhi salam and his followers, right, they still hold on to the idea of idol worshipping after they reach the other side. This is when Musa alayhi salam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to discuss with him. And he was given the Ten Commandments, right? He was given some advice. He was given a sharia. He was given a type of lifestyle that they are supposed to live by, that is good for them and good for human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Musa alayhi salam to come to him. And it was initially for 30 days. And he ended up going and staying for an extra 10 days. So a total of 40 days. Now during that time, Musa alayhi salam left his brother Harun in charge, responsible for the people. And of course, these people are very new to this message of Harun alayhi salam. And so they don't know so much of what they're supposed to do, but they know that they're not supposed to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because it was so normal for them to be worshiping other than Allah, to be worshiping things, items, they decided, let's make something that we can turn to in worship, right? We could turn to this item in worship and we can worship Allah through this item. And so what they did was they took jewelry that they had, they melted it, and they made a cow. Of course, it's made out of jewelry, so it's hollow, right? So they molded a cow and they placed it there and they started to worship this cow. And when the wind blew, you know, when you have a bottle, I don't have an empty bottle with me right now. Actually, let me see if this is going to work. It may work. Hold on. I have an empty pill bottle here. It's not going to work. It's too big. Oh, I think I do have a water bottle back here. Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Al-Kawthar. This is from South Africa. This is stays on my desk, right? This is my Dawood water bottle, right? From South Africa. And so the opening is wide, so it's a bit difficult to do it, but you hear the sound. That's what happened. The wind was blowing through it and it was creating this sound. And when the wind blew through, they were like, oh, the cow is mooing. The cow is responding to us. The cow is giving us a sign. And so they continued to worship the cow. And of course, that was not what they were supposed to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us now, He left Harun, his brother, in charge. When Harun sees the people doing this, he's confused now. Should I stop them? Should I wait until Musa comes back? Musa alayhi salam, when he returns after 40 days, he actually missed a part that I'll mention to you shortly, okay? Because I don't want to end this part of the story. He comes back after 40 days and he sees the people worshiping this statue of a cow. And he goes over to Harun alayhi salam. and he grabs Harun by the beard and by his hair. And he's like, what are you doing? I thought I told you not to let them worship anything other than Allah. I left you in charge, right? So he grabs him by the beard and he grabs him by the hair. He's basically like really upset. With who? With his brother, right? His own brother. Now that's amazing because subhanAllah, you know, that's Musa alayhi salam doing that with his own brother, okay? But we see here that Musa alayhi salam, he got really upset and he grabs his brother by the beard and by the hair and he's like, what's wrong with you? Harun alayhi salam, he responds to his brother by making him feel honored. He says, I was waiting for you to return because I knew that if I was to stop them, they would become divided. And so I waited for you to return because when you tell them something, they listen to you. They follow what you have to say. And so they will abide by what you tell them. They will respect what you tell them and they will listen to you and they will follow through with it. And so Musa alayhi salam lets go of his brother. He realizes his brother was using some reason, right? His brother was actually speaking with wisdom and acting with wisdom. So that, my brothers and sisters, is an example of, you know, how Musa alayhi salam and Harun, the two of them, they worked together. And yeah, they were brothers. Yes, there were issues, but subhanAllah, they made it happen. They made it work. And one thing I forgot to mention, my brothers and sisters, in this story, because it's very lengthy, I'm not following through with the verses. One thing I forgot to mention was when Musa alayhi salam goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak with him, right? To communicate, to receive the revelation, to receive the commands, the sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asked by Musa alayhi salam. Musa asks him, I want to see you. I want to see you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow him to see him. But he tells him to do something, right? He tells him to take this bird and, you know, to look at the mountain and the mountains would collapse, right? And so Musa alayhi salam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this question. Allah gives him an example of, you know what? This world and you and humans, you can't handle me. You can't handle seeing me, right? It's not something that we can do. The mountains would collapse. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, uses an example with the bird and so on of how Allah can separate things and bring them right back together. That is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and might. And that's what we have on earth. Musa alayhi salam, just like us, wants to see Allah. Just like other human beings that say, show me this God. Who is this God that you talk about? Well, I'm sorry, but we can't see Allah. But He's real. He exists. You see it in the Wi-Fi that's happening around us, for example, right? You see it in, you know, the chaos that's going around in the world, the greatness of, or the great power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's happening around us all the time. You know, we breathe air. Who provides it for us? Allah. We see the sun. Alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. Who made it happen? Allah. Who created that sun? Who put it up there in the sky? Allah. Like, it's not a human being that did that, right? So the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And as Musa wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we too want to see Allah, but we're not able to. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be able to see His signs, signs of His greatness, signs of His being, signs of His existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything that we can ever compare or discuss or use as an example. We move on, insha'Allah ta'ala. Let's go to verse number 180. Verse number 180 of Surah Al-A'raf. Okay. We transition now from the story of Musa alayhi salam. And this is a simple example of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. He mentions in His names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah has the most beautiful names. So call upon Him by them. In a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Whoever understands them, whoever memorizes them, whoever knows them, whoever uses them, whoever understands these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lives by them, acts accordingly, dakhala al-jannah, enters into paradise. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he has beautiful names, the most beautiful names. I can't get into all of them, but when you think of one that's important for all of us, Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides everything we have. And rizq, usually when we say the word rizq, those who know what it means like provisions. But generally when we hear the word rizq, we think of money, wealth. But what is wealth? In this dunya, wealth is not the money that's in our pockets, right? The money that's in our pockets. The other night, my daughter was looking in my pocket. She's like, what do you use this pocket for? You never put anything in it, right? It's empty, no money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he has beautiful names. And from his names is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides everything for us. Things that we can't even comprehend, we can't even understand. We don't even know they exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it to us. How are our ears hearing the sound of my voice right now? Those of us who studied biology, we know. But when you think of it, subhanAllah, it's just sound that's on the outside that's being created by what? It's being created by the mouth, but the sound comes from somewhere. It's air that's coming through, but it's not just air, because air is just... It's not just air, right? It's sound that's coming from the vocal box, okay? The sound box within us. That was a design created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sound that comes out that can be beautiful and even more beautiful, right? We don't say that it's ugly. We say it's beautiful and even more beautiful because it's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that sound that's coming out of our mouths, how is it heard in our ears? And if it's going in our ears, how does it register so quickly with our brain? And from our brain, it registers so fast so that we're able to even respond without even dissecting the words. Like if I was to dissect the words right now, words right now, WORDSRIGHT, space, N-O-W. We're not dissecting the words and thinking them in letters. We're thinking like the whole sentence just comes. Who makes that happen? Ar-Razzaq, he provided for us the ability to hear, the ability to see, the ability to smell, the ability to speak and to taste, the ability to communicate, the ability to make sounds, the ability to comprehend with our minds, and then to respond. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we ponder over the names of Allah, he tells us, call upon him by those names. In your dua at night, we should learn the names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Raziq. So many of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We call upon him in the things that we want. We don't go to a doctor and say, I have an issue with my car. Or we don't call up a doctor and say, hey, I have this problem with my car. What am I supposed to do? The doctor will say, I don't know. I know, subhanAllah, some doctors, they're so good. They're like the best doctors you could think of, subhanAllah. But when it comes to the simplest things in life, they can't do it. I remember, subhanAllah, so many examples that I have. I was in someone's car once and we were driving and the brother was saying, as a doctor, he's like, if I have a flat tire, I wouldn't know what to do. But if you need surgery on your heart, I can do it with my eyes closed. I was like, subhanAllah, right? You can do it with your eyes closed, surgery on my heart, and you can't change a tire? Forget that. You ain't operating on my heart, right? But he's so good at it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, try to relate to what we go through in our lives. If you have a flat tire, you don't call your medical doctor, you call a mechanic. right? You call a tow truck. You call someone who's in that field. So when you need something, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that field, from that angle of what you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in order to receive from Him. You see what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? So he says, and keep away those who abuse His names. They will be punished for what they used to do. Okay, stay away from those who abuse the names of Allah, who insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disgrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who go to an extent where they, waste their time, and they waste their words, and they waste what they're doing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like what they're doing. They may be doing it saying, oh, I'm worshipping Allah, but they're doing it in the ways that Allah doesn't like. Doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want from us. And so that as well is the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's move on, insha'Allah ta'ala. We'll go to verse number 187. In verse 187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us when the end of time is going to be. Does anyone know when it's going to be? No, we don't, right? We don't know when the world will end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. Regarding the hour, they ask you, O Prophet, when will it be? When is the hour going to be? When is the day of judgment? When is the end of time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عند ربي. Say that the knowledge of that is with my Lord, right? With my Lord. عند ربي, my Lord. And you notice he doesn't say Allah. He says my Lord, because my Lord is the same as your Lord, and our Lord is the same as everyone's Lord, right? So when you're giving da'wah or when you're talking to people who are non-believers, we have to understand that we should be using terms that make it easy for them to accept and embrace what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Give me 4 seconds, inshallah. I'm just going to open the light. All right, because the sun is going down, it's getting a bit dark in here, so we need a little extra nur. Look at that. Just move your hand and the light just comes closer, right? Nur, ala nur. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, that knowledge, the knowledge of the Day of Judgment, is only with my Lord. Only Allah knows that. He alone will reveal it when the time comes. It is too tremendous for the heavens and the earth and will only take you by surprise. Imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's too tremendous. Imagine if we knew when the day of judgment would be. If I knew that it would be tomorrow, chaos would just break loose. The world would be chaotic. People would kill. People would steal. People would rob. People would cheat. People wouldn't care. They would say, you know what, life is ending. Let's live it to the fullest right now. We don't care how we do it. We don't care what we do. Let's just do it. And so, subhanAllah, you'll notice that people will go out of their way to do things that are haram for the sake of enjoying that aspect of it in life. While at the same time, people will go to another extent. They will abandon their families. They will leave their children. They would leave their spouse. They would leave their parents. They would leave everything and say, I need to be busy in ibadah. I don't know if I'm going to be forgiven. So they would go to a completely other extreme. And they would do things that now would take them closer to Allah, but violating the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be. So we as human beings, we can't handle it. If we knew when the day of judgment would be, I think it would just be chaotic. And so this is guidance and wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know when it is, and we don't need to know when it is. We continue to live our lives peacefully, relaxed, alhamdulillah, worshipping Allah, carrying through with ibadah, with worship, with knowledge that we have and implementing it in our lives and teaching it to those who are around us so that we can increase and increase and increase in the good and the hasanat that we need in our lives while at the same time not knowing when we're going to return to Allah. But when we do, hear Allah, everything that we have to present to you is there. We worked, we tried, we didn't know, we hoped, and we left it up to you. O Allah, we come to you with all the good deeds, and seeking forgiveness throughout our lives was a regular thing. And so we hope and we asked that you would forgive us, and we hope that now we will see the fruits of those labors, right? The fruits of that labor. So that's, you know, something important that we learn in this verse here. Let's move on to verse number 199, and then we'll jump into the next surah. We'll take a few examples of the Battle of Badr, and then we'll open it up for some Q&A in 6 minutes, insha'Allah ta'ala, okay? In verses number 199, 200, and 201, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be gracious, enjoin what is right, encourage people to do good, right? And turn away from those who act ignorantly. People who are being ignorant, just leave them. Be good, be honest, be just, be truthful, be trustworthy, be gracious, right? Be someone who opens his heart, right? Someone who opens his mind, opens his bank, opens his khair to others. If you don't have physical wealth, then the wealth is within you anyways, or the wealth is on you anyways, right? Give it away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are tempted by shaitan, then seek refuge with Allah. Anytime shaitan is messing with you, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Simple. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Just say it. Just ask Allah, oh Allah, help me. Help me, I seek refuge in you from the accursed shaitan. Surely he is all-hearing, all-knowing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something powerful here. Indeed, when shaitan whispers to those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? They remember. Who do we remember? We remember Allah. We remember our Lord. Then they start to see things clearly. This verse is a powerful verse. When you just sit and ponder with it, right? For tonight, inshallah. It's verse number 201 of Surah Al-A'raf, okay? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا They remember. When shaitan messes with them, تَذَكَّرُوا They remember. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Look at how simple Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it. We remember Allah when shaitan is messing with us, and then he says, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ You will find those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when shaitan is coming and messing with us, you'll find them to be from amongst those who see things clearly. They see things clearly. It's like, okay, shaitan's just messing with you right now. What's the problem? Like, oh my God, don't you know this is happening? And, you know, other people are just freaking out and you're just like, okay, alhamdulillah. And that applies to everything we're going through in our lives, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, when something happens in the world, you know, immediately we start to react. We're like, oh, this is happening, that's happening, especially within the Muslim communities. We see that we react so much. Why? Take it easy. We need to lower the blood pressure, subhanAllah. We need to take it easy. Something happens, take a deep breath. Don't react immediately. And those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those, when shaitan whispers to them, those who are mindful of Allah, who are constantly thinking and constantly pondering and constantly reflecting upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remember Allah and they see things clearly. So clear, subhanAllah, today the sky is so clear, I see an airplane for the first time in a long, long time, subhanAllah. You see things clearly, you remember Allah, and you feel safe. You don't feel trapped. You feel like everything is under control. Everything is okay. This is the plan of Allah, we will get through it. We move on, my brothers and sisters, to the next surah, Surah Al-Anfal. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yas'alunaka 'anil anfal قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal. What is Surah Al-Anfal? It is the spoils of war. It is that which you gain from the war. And we see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to now discuss the Battle of Badr. And I said I would finish at 8:10, and I'm hoping that I finish within the 8:10 region, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they ask you, O Prophet, regarding the spoils of war, say, their distribution, as in the distribution of what was gained from the battle, is decided by Allah and His Messenger. Don't come and interfere in that. So be mindful of Allah, settle your affairs, and obey Allah and His Messenger if you are true believers. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the true believers. Are you a true believer? Yes, alhamdulillah. You're a true believer, I'm a true believer. So what do we need to do? We need to act upon this verse. He says, the true believers are only those whose hearts tremble at the remembrance of Allah. Have you ever remembered Allah and you became happy to return to Him? Have you ever remembered Allah and you became scared because you may have done something wrong and you need to fix that mistake in your life? Have you ever remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it made you stop in your tracks and turn around and leave the haram you were going to? Have you ever remembered Allah and it made you walk quicker to get to the masjid or to get to ibadah or to get to helping your parents or to get to looking after your neighbors or your children? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And who, with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose faith increases when His revelations, right? The Qur'an, when it is recited to them, and who put their trust in their Lord. My brothers and sisters, you know, the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was during the month of Ramadan. And I won't spend too much time on this because I, you know, discussed it earlier today as well during the Friday lecture. But subhanallah, you know, something that we did was we touched upon the the Battle of Badr. And we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sent angels. And we see that Allah mentions here in this surah, He sent over 1,000 angels to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mushrikun during this time, during the battle, where it was extremely difficult for them. There was rain that came, then the angels helped them out, and alhamdulillah, victory for them. Why? Because their belongings were taken from them, from the people of Mecca. And this was the first time that they were able to, you know, achieve this after they migrated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them, you were small in number, but the help of Allah came. And so my brothers and sisters, for us during the month of Ramadan, we are small in number. We feel insignificant, but we aren't. We are great in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I mean by this is, we are from the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings. He gave us this mind, this aql. And then from the human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best of people that ever came. Why? Because you encourage good, you stop evils, right? You encourage people to stop evil and you stop it within your own selves. And also, what else? We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll suffice with that for today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what He mentions here in this verse. It is they who are the true believers. They will have elevated ranks forgiveness is given to them and an honorable provision from their Lord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us an honorable provision. Ameen. We will open it up for some questions, as I said I would. We do have a good few minutes that we'll take some questions, inshallah. So feel free to, type your questions in the comment section below in front of you. I will move these devices over so I could see what's happening. Let me just do this. Do a little twist and a shimmy. All right, there we go. And please take it easy with the questions, not so quick. Why did the Battle of Badr start? Okay. The Jum'ah lecture, I mentioned that, okay, Abdul Hasib. But basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the caravan is traveling back from Syria, from Sham, back to Mecca. And the Muslims, when they migrated, they left all of their wealth behind in Mecca. So a lot of their wealth was traveling there. So they were going to intercept so they can reclaim their wealth, what belonged to them, okay? Let me revert back to the chat over here. Laylatul Qadr, a night of decision is made. Will live next. Okay. A question. On Friday, after listening to your lecture from 1:30 to 1:50, we do a jama'ah. Niyya for that should be 4 raka'ah fard as normal dhuhr prayers. Yes. So what we do is we pray 4 raka'ah on Fridays, because we're praying from home, right? We're praying from home. We're not having the actual Jum'ah prayer. So you would pray 4 raka'ah from home. The person leading do not have to pray aloud. No. So the person who's leading would lead silently because it is Dhuhr prayer. Okay. You're praying the Dhuhr prayer. So you would lead silently. Okay. Everyone wants to ask questions about Islam, but I want to know, how are you doing? Shy. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. I'm doing good. Alhamdulillah. I wish that I could see you. And I wish that I just miss seeing you guys, honestly. I'm doing good, alhamdulillah, a little tired. It's a little frustrating. I wish I had some hands on deck. I wish I had more help and assistance, to get some things done. This is one of my students, one of our students, alhamdulillah. And I have something for you. I have something for you. So I want your mother to send me a message, inshallah. I have something I want to give you, inshallah. Because you touched my heart today. This is yours, Shai. This one is yours. This is my nice Hugo Boss, okay? I never thought I would give this one away, but this one is yours. So your mother's going to message me, and we're going to arrange for you to come and pick this up, inshallah ta'ala, okay? This one is for you, my watch, okay? Allah yubarakik. I recently got a watch as a gift, and whenever I get one as a gift, I have to give one as a gift. So I'm giving this one as a gift to you, inshallah. So Sister Sophia, make sure you message me, and we'll arrange to, I'll bring this over to you, inshallah. How are the names of surahs and chapters established in the Quran? Oh, loaded question, such a small amount of time. Okay, so first of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited through the Quran with Jibreel. So the arrangement of the Quran is something that we see happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibreel. Okay. Yes, he gets another one. If he wants to gift his to his brother, and then he gets this one, that's fine. Or if he wants to give this one to his brother, but this one's a little bit more special than the other one, so it's up to him, right? But this one is for him. I'll keep this aside, inshallah. So as for the ayat of the Quran, they are put in place according to how they were taught to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Angel Jibreel. And so that is how we see it, put in place there. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned some of the surahs by name. And so that's how we know the names of the surahs. Okay. I once saw a video of people praying salah in a masjid. An earthquake occurred and they stayed in salah. Is this right? Or are we to run for our safety? Look, at that point, I can't tell you what you would do, okay? None of us knows what we would do if an earthquake hit us at this point in time. So we need to make sure that we strengthen our iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we do at that time, we leave that up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I can't tell you what to do. And I'm pretty sure even if I told you, at that point in time, your brain would not try to comprehend what Dawood said in a lecture a long time ago. Some of the people stayed, some of the people fled. Of course, in a compulsory prayer, we stay. But if there's something that is going to take our life away and the people continue to pray, then the best way to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in prayer. And those who flee, well, they fled for their safety. And that is also something that we see as Muslims are supposed to protect ourselves and look after ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. MashaAllah, you're keeping that one? whichever one you keep is up to you, but it's yours, inshallah. Okay, Master Ryder, you're asking a question and you're saying, answer you. Where is your question? Okay, what is the dua before fasting? Look, there are some mention of dua, but there's no specific dua that you need to say before you fast. Okay, as long as you have the intention in your heart, alhamdulillah, that's what matters. Okay, if you want to make an intention in your own language, oh Allah, I'm intending to fast today for your sake, that's good enough. Okay, so you can say that. Sheikh, we're available if you need help. You're available if I need help, alhamdulillah. I don't even know your name. It says the unofficialguide.ca. For all I know, you could be a robot. Because we live in an AI environment nowadays. All right, last one, inshallah. What can we do to show gratitude to Allah for all that He has given to us? Give what Allah has given to you to others within a reasonable amount. For example, you want to show gratitude to Allah? I'm showing gratitude to Allah. One of my students asked me how I'm doing. Because everyone's asking questions, he says, I want to know how are you doing. And that touched my heart. Honestly, I'm holding back emotions, right? So subhanAllah, this is his. Why? Because Allah has blessed me with this. And I love to wear this. In fact, some of the favorite colors that I have, silver and black, right? They go together. If you see my business card, it's got the same colors on it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us things. You know, Sister Nadia, if you want to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that you cannot thank Allah, you're not truly and fully thanking Allah until you thank the people. So show thanks, show gratitude to the people, to others. Give something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you that you have of value to others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more in return. And you will feel pleased and content that you parted with something of this dunya for the sake of Allah. And you'll see how happy you feel inside. Allah will make everything good for you and will increase you in, you know, your happiness and your joy of this world. That's all the time that we have. We'll conclude with a very simple, quick dua, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept every single thing that you have given to Him of goodness and khair throughout this day of fasting. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from every single one of us and allow us to continue to turn to Him throughout this month of Ramadan. This is a precious time. Make dua, make dua, make dua. It's the last few minutes on a Friday during the month of Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.